I'm Francis Durham with the North Hill Oral Histories Project, and I'm in the home of Ann Chismar. Did I pronounce that right, Chismar?
That's right.
Ann Chismar, her maiden name was Richards. She came to North Hill as a 10-year-old girl, the daughter of a Methodist minister. Is that right, Mrs. Chismar?
That's right.
And so she came to North Hill in 1922 and has remained pretty much continuously in North Hill ever since.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's turn this off and check the volume. Okay, the volume is fine, so we're going on then with the interview. As I said, Mrs. Chismar was the daughter of a Methodist minister and lived in the parsonage at the Methodist Church here in Northville. Do you want to tell me what it was like as a child growing up in Northville? You came as a 10-year-old. What are your recollections of growing up in Northville as a child?
Well, my first introduction to Northville was my father and mother had come from Cass City. And you know, at that time, it took quite a while to travel. And when we arrived in Northville, everything was closed. My father looked in the window of the parsonage and he said, "Jen, they haven't even moved the furniture out yet." So he went to the stores. There were no stores open.
Now, this was not a Sunday.
No, this was a weekday.
Everything was closed.
Yes. Hmm. And he went up the street, up Dunlap to Wing Street, and across Wing Street to Randolph, and east on Randolph Street, and he finally found a lady named Mrs. Stark home. And her husband was the manager of the Silver Springs Bottling and Ginger Ale Works in Northville. So she took us in, and we stayed with her, six people with her, for a whole week before the parsonage was vacated. Well, come to find out from her, the Wayne County Fair was on, and it was the Northville Day at the fair, and the schools were closed and everything. That's why everything was closed up on that day. So that was our first experience to Northville.
Do you have brothers and sisters at that time?
Oh, yes, I had. I was the oldest of four children, and a sister was three at that time. A brother was five, and my other sister was 9 years old.
Mm-hmm. Did you have kind of responsibility for your younger brothers and sisters in terms of kind of keeping them in line, or?
Well, yes. In the evenings, if my mother went out when I became older, why, they didn't get a babysitter, and I was just in charge of keeping everyone in tow, which was quite a job, because I had one sister that was quite mischievous.
As long as you mentioned that Northville Fair, why don't we talk about that? Now, you were a 10-year-old girl at the time. Do you have pretty good recollection of what the Northville Fair was like?
Oh, yes. It went on for quite a few years after that.
Tell us, where did it take place? What took place at the fair?
It was where the Northville racetrack is located.
Okay.
And then when the racetrack came, why, the state fair had closed, and they opened it as a racetrack then. And they had all women brought their jams and jellies. It was comparative to the state fair. And there were animals there, and at that time the House of Correction made furniture, and they had farms out at the House of Correction, and they would have big exhibits along with the local people of produce at the fair. And my father always exhibited his dahlias at the fair, and he usually got prizes for those at that time.
Mm-hmm. So the fair, was it put on by the town of Northville, or was it, did it cover a wider area? Was it called
the whole county.
Okay, so
it was the Wayne County Fair? Fair.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And now, you mentioned the House of Correction. Where was it located?
Well, if at its present site on 5 Mile, I think it's 5 Mile and Beck.
Five Mile and Beck. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that property is no longer used, or is that property still used?
I think it's used some.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay. And the those that were there, and I don't know whether we want to call them inmates or not, but those that lived there grew fruits, vegetables, and made things.
Yes.
Furniture.
Yes.
What kind of furniture would they make?
Well, household furniture, I think. I don't exactly remember.
Okay, and then was that furniture sold?
Yes.
So the inmates, the inmates would derive some income from the sale of furniture.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Okay. What else can you recall about growing up in Northville? What about school? Where did you attend school?
Well, I attended school in the old high school.
As a 10-year-old?
In fifth grade.
Uh-huh.
And my brothers and sisters, my brother and sisters attended the high school that it burned down quite some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a brick structure behind the high school.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't facing Katy, but there was a street that ran through there. I think it was West Street.
Mm-hmm.
But since they closed that part of that block off, and it faced West Street.
Okay, now you said you attended school in the old high school.
Yes.
In other words, it was converted from a high school to an elementary building?
No. No, it was a high school until 1959.
Now, you would have been a fifth grader when you started here.
Yes, but they had some elementary children.
Ah, elementary children in the high school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. It went fifth through high school. Yes.
Okay. Then did your entire school career take place in that building, or
yes.
You went all the way through?
All the way through.
And the whole high school until you graduated from high school itself?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Then after you left high school, what happened next?
Well, then I went at that time it was called Michigan State Normal College.
Uh-huh.
Which is now Eastern Michigan University.
Right.
And I attended there for 2 years, and then I returned to Northville as a teacher. I attended there 3 years.
3 years, okay.
And
got a college degree.
I got a certificate. A life certificate.
Okay.
They don't have those anymore.
Okay. And then returned to Northville
to teach? And I returned to Northville to teach.
Okay. And
the philosophy of the school board was that they should hire Northville folks.
Mm-hmm.
It was during the Depression, and they felt that if there were Northville people available, the teaching job should be given to Northville people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what were you teaching?
I taught kindergarten.
Kindergarten, and then did you teach any other grades during your teaching career?
Oh, yes. I taught first grade, second grade, and then the last few years I was the reading consultant, remedial reading teacher.
Hmm. How many years were you in the Northville schools?
Off and on for 32 years.
32
Mr.
years.
Mr. Everman used to introduce me when I'd come back. I would take maternity leaves and even introduced me as his off-and-on-again teacher.
Okay, so you spent your entire teaching career right in the Northville School.
That's right.
Okay, now you mentioned Mr. Ammerman, and we're going to talk about him in a few minutes, but who was the superintendent at the time you came as a teacher in Northville?
Mr. Ammerman was.
He was a superintendent then.
He was a superintendent, but my last 3 years in high school, he was my principal.
Okay, so he had been a building principal
Who was the superintendent? Who was the superintendent when he was the high school principal?
I don't know. They changed quite a bit, and I can't recall his name. I should have looked it up.
I think you were telling me when we were talking last week that the gentleman died, and then Mr. Ammerman was appointed as a temporary superintendent?
Yes, but Mr. Knapp came after I graduated from high school. He came in the fall of 1930, and I graduated in June of 1930.
Okay.
It was Thad Knapp from Highland. He, it was sort of a semi-retirement for him, I think, because he came from the Highland Park school system, so he was superintendent there for many years.
Okay. And then he became superintendent in Northville.
Yes.
And then he died.
And then...
At that point, Mr. Ammerman then was appointed kind of an acting superintendent.
Yes, he was a temporary superintendent.
While they were looking for somebody else. Did they ever select anybody else?
No, they didn't.
So Mr. Ammerman then became the superintendent and continued until his retirement.
Yes.
Okay. Anything you want to tell me about... Mr. Ammerman, let's go back. Let's talk about your teaching career, your first teaching assignment. What was the building like that you taught in?
It was a house, and it was, the divisions had been taken out between rooms, so that there were a lot of little L's and extra little side rooms. In it, but it was fixed so there was one great big room, and then there were other little rooms in it. And Mr. Ammerman's office was upstairs in that building.
Okay. Were there other teachers in the same building with you?
No.
You were the only teacher in the building.
Yes.
And this was a kindergarten?
Yes.
Okay.
It had been that for several years before I came.
Okay, and pretty well equipped?
Oh, yes.
Pretty well equipped?
Well, fairly well equipped.
Okay.
According to Depression.
According to Depression. Indoor plumbing?
Yes.
Indoor plumbing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so pretty much it had the minor conveniences.
Yeah.
Now, you did tell me in the course of our earlier conversation about a fire. One of the schools, I think you said, was destroyed by fire. Do you want to tell me about that?
Yes, that was about, I think, 1935 or 36. I got a call from Mrs. Watts, who was the night telephone operator. And the phone rang about 4 o'clock in the morning. She says, "Ann, you don't need to come to school this morning. The school's burned down." And the elementary school had burned. Sparks from the chimney had lit in the cedar shingles on the roof, and it had almost entirely gutted the inside of the old elementary school.
What happened to you then?
Well, I was still in the house.
Okay.
And I don't think they didn't tear that house down until later on.
And then we
talked, or the elementary teachers taught in all the empty stores, and there was an empty Lapham's Bank had closed. There had been two banks in Northville, the Babbitt Bank and the Lapham Bank. And later the Babbitt Bank reopened.
This was during the Depression. So that in order to find places for the children while this school was being rebuilt, and any place they could find room.
Yes.
They would move the classroom there and have the children taught there. And then they started putting up another building?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the building that I was teaching in was torn down.
Uh-huh.
It was just a house there, and there was, of course, more property there.
Right.
And so they built the present elementary, Main Street Elementary School, which is no longer in use as a school.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then first grade teacher and I were moved into a new scout building they had built, but the furnace was very inadequate.
Now when you say scout building, you mean,
yes,
you mean Boy Scouts?
A Boy Scout building.
And it was put out specifically for the Boy Scouts?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And it was where the present drive-in bank is on Randolph, corner of, not Randolph, corner of Dunlap and Hutton.
Okay, near the Arbor Drug Center.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you started, let's see, you started in 1933. What was the size of the teaching staff at that time? How big was the Northville schools?
I think there were about 23 in all, including the superintendent and the principal, and then we had a teaching principal for the elementary school. She just did the bookwork, and we handed our attendance reports to her at the end of each month, and she took care of that. Mr. Ammerman more or less supervised the teaching.
Uh-huh.
Process of the teachers.
Uh-huh.
So,
do you mind telling me what your beginning salary was as a teacher in 1933?
It was $75 a month.
$75 a month.
Well, it was supposed to be $900, but by the time they took things out for retirement and that sort of thing, it was about $75 a month. And if you were ill, why, you were docked.
You were docked?
Yes, you were docked that,
yeah,
that pay. And
did they have any kind of, I guess what we call today benefits? Now you mentioned retirement.
Yeah.
Didn't have anything like sick days or...
Oh, no.
Or any kind of coverage?
No, if you were sick,
insurance, hospitalization, all the things that our teachers enjoy today, they didn't have
no,
like in those
they
days.
Didn't have those.
Were you able to manage fairly well on $75 a month?
Well, I paid half of my salary back to my father so he could put, so he could help the other children through school.
Uh-huh.
So I skimped quite a bit.
Okay, when you first came back then to teach, you were still living at the parsonage with your father?
Oh, no, no. In 1931, my parents were transferred to the Belleville Methodist Church.
Okay. And then...
To serve there.
Okay. And then where were you living in Northville?
Well, I boarded with Mr. and Mrs. Earl Cobb.
Uh-huh.
And he had been a cabinet maker for the Globe Furniture Company.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked for Laffin's Dry Goods Store. It was called, it was a dry goods store at that time.
Mm-hmm. Laffin, now is that the Laffin's that eventually became the Laffin's Men's Clothing Store?
Yes.
That's the
yes.
same mm-hmm. family, same store?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so then you boarded. You wanted to come back here and teach in Northville rather than teaching somewhere else, and because your parents were now in Belleville, you had to board here.
Yeah.
How long did you board with these people?
Until I was married.
Until you were
until
married.
1938.
Uh-huh. Did you meet your husband here in Northville?
No, I met him in Belleville.
In Belleville.
Yeah.
Okay, where your dad and mother were.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a friend of my brother's, and he lived right behind us in the Belleville Parsonage.
Uh-huh.
So usually weekends, why, my father would come and get me, and I'd go home, and he'd bring me back Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
Until I had a boyfriend, then he used to come and get me.
Let's back up a little bit here. Going back to your childhood, what about social life in Northville at that time. What kinds of things? Now, you're a Methodist minister's daughter, so maybe you couldn't do some of the same kinds of things that other children did, but what kinds of things would there be for recreation and social life as a 10-year-old from the time you started until eventually you graduated from high school? What kinds of things were there in Northville for young people?
Oh, there was sledding in the winter, and I remember when they paved the streets, why they let us, the streets were all dirt roads at that time, and then I don't remember the year they paved them, but I do remember that they let us roller skate on them. That amused us almost for one whole summer, because as soon as they'd finish one block, they shut it off and to harden, I suppose, and then mm-hmm. let us skate on it. And then I was quite a tomboy. I played baseball, and there was a lot I don't know whether there's a bank there or not, but it was a vacant lot.
In the downtown area?
Yes. Uh-huh. Right across, Kitty Corner from the parsonage. It would be on the northeast corner of Center Street.
Incidentally, as long as we mention the parsonage now, that was the earlier Methodist church that was in Northville. There's another
yes.
later building now that was built further west. Is the old Methodist church, the one that you were grew up as a minister's daughter, is that church still used?
Yes, it's used as, well, first it became a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And then now it's the Open Door Church.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
One experience that I had was going with my father over to the church, and there were ladders that went clear up into the clock, and once a week that clock had to be wound up. It was, and so we would help him wind it up.
How would it be wound? Not like a clock that you wind with a key. How would you wind a church clock?
I think there were big lead weights,
uh-huh.
and those had to be wound up, and then I don't know exactly how it operated. I'm not
uh-huh.
much of a mechanic, but I can remember seeing those weights coming up as we would wind
uh-huh.
it.
Now that clock, and I've heard from more than one source, that's quite a landmark. They talk about the church with the clock.
Yes, and the city put the clock in.
Uh-huh. How did they happen to do that?
I don't know. It was there when we came to Northville.
Okay.
So I don't know anything about the history of what happened and how it came to be there, unless because the church was located in the center, practically in the center of town.
Now, how close was the parsonage to the church?
It was right on the corner of Dunlap and Center Street, and the church was right behind it.
The church was behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think now.
The house, the parsonage, faced Center Street.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay.
And the church faces Dunlap.
Okay, now is the parsonage still there? I'm trying to think.
No.
Now that's what I was thinking. I don't remember a building there that would
no,
be like a parsonage.
It's torn down.
It was torn down.
Yes.
Okay, and what's that property used for now?
It's just the parking lot for the Open Door Church,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
For
right.
a while it was used as a car park, one of the auto sales
uh-huh.
people, I think. I think it was Ford Sales had cars there.
Okay. I recall a number of years ago coming out to a restaurant, and I think it was called the Drawbridge, and I'm sure that that's...
That was the old church.
That's the church.
Yeah.
How do you suppose they happened to... I'm assuming now that
when they decided to build the new church, then they had this church available for sale. Who was that church sold to? Do you have any idea?
I don't know whether it was the people at the drawbridge that bought it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. They did a lot of remodeling.
Okay.
Of course,
and then,
to me, they sort of ruined it.
I thought it was quite unusual to have a dinner in what was a Methodist church at the
yeah.
time, or it was a church at the time.
Yeah.
And then later on, the drawbridge closed, and then it became, mm-hmm. as you say, the Open Door Church, mm-hmm. which is a non-denominational
yeah.
church, I presume. Okay.
Before they tore the church, before they tore the poor parsonage down, it became a restaurant, because the parsonage, that was after my parents left there.
Mm-hmm.
The parsonage was on the corner of Wing and Dunlap.
Uh-huh.
And there was a restaurant in there. It was called Black's White House.
Black's
the
White
people
House.
That ran it, the name was Black.
Uh-huh.
And so they called it Black's White House.
And so the parsonage was used as a restaurant for
yes.
a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Was it a pretty good-sized parsonage?
It was a fairly-sized parsonage.
Huh.
Oh, I remember one incident in the parsonage. I don't know whether this is apropos to this or not, but...
Go ahead and tell us about it.
But couples from Detroit would come out to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And so the living room was always closed off because that was where special things took place.
Mm-hmm.
And the heating system in the parsonage was so that they had radiators that just opened upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so my father was conducting a wedding down there and we wanted to see it. Well, we forgot that oftentimes when we would clean, we would sweep the dust into those registers.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a shock when we opened to watch the wedding and the dust fell down.
Oh, boy. anything else that you can recall during your childhood about social life or recreational life in Northville? You mentioned roller skating, you mentioned sledding parties.
Mm-hmm.
What about things like dances? What about sports activities?
Well, I didn't attend dances, except I did attend my senior prom. Later on in 19—I've just forgotten what year it was. They built the church fellowship hall
mm-hmm. okay.
behind the church. That was—I think it was 1928.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming your father was instrumental.
Yes, and he was very interested in young people, getting them involved in sports and that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a cement floor. Put in the fellowship hall
mm-hmm.
and a basketball court was laid out and we had whole inter-church basketball games there. And he always encouraged us in sports.
Good.
And then when we were in high school, we participated in my sister more than I, and we're on the basketball and the baseball teams.
Oh, in the high school
teams. In the high school teams. And,
mm-hmm.
and my father, if he didn't have a funeral or if there wasn't anything urgent, why, they didn't have buses at that time, so he would drive us, he would drive a load of us to our basketball games.
Hmm.
Between other towns.
Mm-hmm. Now, as long as you mentioned transportation, let's go into that now. obviously, there were cars at that time. what about other modes of transportation in and out of Northville besides cars?
Well, there was an interurban that ran up through the middle of town, and that was one way to get to Plymouth and Farmington and Detroit.
Would an interurban be similar to what later on were called streetcars?
Well, an interurban went from town to town, where a streetcar was, I think, was just in the city.
Yeah, would the vehicle be more like a train than it would be like a streetcar?
No, it was more like a streetcar.
More like a streetcar.
Yes.
Okay, it would go from town to town.
Run by electricity, I think,
uh-huh.
Because I remember the overhead line.
Okay. Okay. And you could pick up the interurban here in Northville.
Yes.
Was there some kind of a little station or just a stop?
Well, you could get on at Main Street.
Yeah.
Main Street and Center Street, because it dead-ended right there.
Right.
And then there was a station on Griswold Street.
Griswold Street, okay.
Yes.
All right.
And then
far could you go on that interurban?
You could go into Detroit.
All the way down into Detroit?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did it run into downtown Detroit at that time?
I don't recall. I know it ran into the city,
mm-hmm.
but I don't remember how far, because my aunt lived in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
She met us in Detroit.
Okay.
When we got off the streetcar.
Okay.
But I can't recall how far down it went.
I'm assuming that back in those days there was nothing like buses that would run back and forth.
No.
Primary transportation was interurban.
Yes.
Now, were there any other, or car, was there any other kind of transportation in and out of Northville?
Well, not until later on when I came back teaching, and they had the Biddle bus line.
Oh, bus line.
Ran
okay.
to Five Points.
In Detroit. Okay, that would be at Grand River.
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
Five
where Grand River and 7 Mile intersect.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there was a bus line. Did it operate strictly between Northville and Detroit, or did it include some of these other communities?
No, I think it just ran between Northville and Detroit.
The Biddle bus line?
Yes.
Okay.
Tunis P. Biddle was the owner.
Okay.
In fact, his bus station was down here where Northville Charlie's is now.
Oh, yeah.
That's where his mechanics and garage were.
Uh-huh. Okay. What happened to that bus line? Eventually just went out of business?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do I recall that there was also a train? You could also get into town on a train? Was there a train running between Northville and Detroit, or just the interurban?
No, just the interurban.
Just the interurban.
Yes.
Okay.
I think you'd have to go to Plymouth to get a train into Detroit.
Okay, but there might have been a train out of Plymouth at that time.
Yes.
Okay. As you can recall, compare Northville to Plymouth at that time. Was Plymouth about the same size as Northville, about the same kind of a little town or village, or?
Well, it was always a little larger than Northville.
Uh-huh.
But in my day, we were quite competitive with Plymouth in football and basketball
mm-hmm.
and sports.
Mm-hmm. So that would
yes.
be a big game then.
Oh, yes.
And either football
we
or basketball,
big,
it would
big
be.
Big bonfire the night before the game. And it was, at that time, the football games were played and down at the fairgrounds.
And the fairgrounds are located
where
Northville Downs is?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's where the football games would take place.
Yes.
Okay, and it was a friendly type of competition, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
not vicious or that type
well,
of thing.
Well, not really.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's great. So there would... Now, you mentioned that your sister was in sports. Were you
yes.
in sports also?
Well, I was in sports, but I I guess I just didn't have that amount of energy. I tired very easily.
Yeah.
So I was manager of the high school, of the girls' high school basketball team.
Important position. You took care of the equipment, make sure everything was there.
Yeah.
That's an important position.
And I did play baseball, so.
Uh-huh. Yeah, as a kind of an intramural baseball, or?
No, it was between schools.
Oh, okay, so you were on a school
yes.
team.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, good. You mentioned something when we were talking the other day about bobsledding, and I found that kind of interesting. Do you want to tell us about that?
Oh, yes. We used to go up, I don't know, at that time, up beyond Allen Terrace was what was called the Mayberry Sanitarium, not the Mayberry, I'm sorry, that's the Whitcomb.
Mm-hmm.
Sanitarium.
Mm-hmm.
And High Street ran straight up. There was also a curved road you could take to go to the sanitarium, but there was also like a little dirt road, more or less of a track that went straight up to the top of the hill there. We'd take our the Upper League at that time, the church group, would have bobsled parties.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd get on our bobsled and push off, and we'd come down, all clear down High Street, and then at High Street, dead end, and we'd turn down Main End, then on to Wing Street and go down, and we'd eventually end up at the fairground.
Hmm. That's a long run.
Yes, it was. It was a long walk back.
Now, I'm assuming the streets were snow-covered at the time. Now, the streets were paved.
I imagine so.
Okay.
I'm not exactly.
Okay,
yes,
now,
I think it was.
What about,
yes.
Now when would you do this? Would you do this like on a weekend or
in an evening?
In an evening? What about traffic?
Sometime. Well, there wasn't too much traffic. Usually somebody would be posted when we had the bobsled.
Okay.
But then there was quite a tragic accident. A little girl was killed on her sled there on Randolph and High Street, so they put a stop to that.
And that was on a bobsled?
No, she was on her sled.
On a regular sled?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you could go quite a distance on the sled. You could cross Randolph and High Street.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, that's too bad.
Yes.
But that must have been quite a ride to come down on a bobsled all the way from where the Allen Terrace is now, almost all the way down to the fairgrounds.
Yes, it was.
That was quite a trip. Well, let's take a look at these notes here now. Let's see. You mentioned a gazebo in the center of town. In fact, you mentioned an incident involving the interurban. Tell us about that gazebo.
Well, that was where Santa Claus came on Christmas. That's my most vivid recollection of that. And Christmas Eve, Santa would... Well, I don't know whether it was Christmas Eve for sure, but anyway, Santa would come there and hand out candy and bags of candy and treats to the children. That's where we met Santa.
Mm-hmm. Was that gazebo there when you moved here, or was it built after you?
No, it was here when we moved here.
Okay. What else was it used for?
Well, I think it was probably used, you know, if people lectured or something. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But,
and you said,
you know, if there was a community, outdoor community doings, the speakers would be up there.
Okay. And you said it was right in the middle of the street, right in
the
middle of town?
Right in the middle of Main and Center Street.
Okay. Now, tell us about that incident involving the interurban.
Well, I don't really recollect that, but a friend of mine told me that some teenagers had greased the track to the interurban. And so when the interurban came through town, his brakes wouldn't stop, and he wrecked the gazebo there. And that put an end to it.
Took care of it. They never did rebuild it and put it in that location then.
No. Because at that time, I think, you know, there was more traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they did take the tracks up from the interurban and pave the streets.
Okay. All right. Now let me see. We talked about a little bit about your childhood. We talked about the county fair. And, oh yes, you were telling me, and this might be a good point to mention it, that your dad is a Methodist minister. You were saying that a lot of the weddings took place right in the parsonage, but there was one very unusual wedding, and in fact there was clippings in the paper about it that your father participated in. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yes, Eddie Stimson had an airplane plant in Northville, down all where Main Street curves around and becomes South Main instead of East Main. One evening, Eddie Stinson and Randy Page was his test pilot. They came to the house and asked my father. They had friends that wanted to get married, and they didn't want to wait the 5 days because it was a 5-day wait in Michigan. And they asked my father if he would fly with them to Ohio so that they would get a license in Ohio and they could be married immediately. And so he married them in the air over Ohio.
On the way back.
So, yes.
And they had the bridal party was in the airplane also?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
that must have been quite an experience.
Yeah. From the size of the plane, I don't see how they could stand up, but maybe they...
That was probably,
to my knowledge, that was the first wedding that took place in the air, at least in the Michigan area.
Now, that Stinson aircraft, was that what was called?
Stinson
airplane plant or Stinson aircraft?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea how many people it employed? Did it employ a lot of residents of Northville?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
Okay.
There
was, as I understand, though, there was an airport somewhere here.
Yes, on the Lapham property out, it was beyond 6 Mile and Beck Road, I think.
Okay, and this belonged to the Stinson? They used it for planes there, or?
Well, I still think, because later on I know the Laphams owned it, whether they still own that property now or not, I don't know. Whether they just rented it or what, I don't know.
Now, would they have built World War I airplanes for use during the war?
No.
This would have been after the war.
That was after the war.
After the war. So what they were building then were primarily passenger planes.
Could be.
Or commercial.
Or maybe private.
Private planes.
Or commercial planes.
Small planes.
Yes.
Small planes. Mm-hmm. And then the plant, you say, was right where the road curved and became 7 Mile Road? Main Street.
No.
Main Street became East Main, then became South Main, and eventually across 7 Mile Road.
It was probably right across from the well.
The Northville Well.
The Northville Well.
Okay. There's a wagon wheel hotel over there somewhere close by, and there's an office supply place over there, Stimson's, I think it's called, or something. That's where the aircraft plant
was. But where the old hotel was a furniture plant. The Globe Furniture Factory was there.
Oh, okay. Globe
and
Furniture.
And Stinson, I think, was sort of back where Katy Street comes into Main Street.
Uh-huh.
If you can visualize that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And it was It was where Katy curves around
mm-hmm.
and comes into Main Street. The plant was right in there somewhere.
Okay. Okay. And then what's the Wagon Wheel Hotel was at one time a furniture company.
No.
Oh, that's where it was located.
That's
okay.
It was located right next to.
Okay.
Right next to that.
Okay. What kind of furniture did they manufacture there?
Well, I think it was primarily church furniture.
Okay.
Because I know the font in the present Methodist Church was made by the Gold Furniture Company.
Mm-hmm.
And also the pulpit, too, I know, was made there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but not the present pulpit. That pulpit was left in the,
left in the old
I
church.
Was quite shocked when I went into the drawbridge and saw they were using it as a reception where they had reservations and things they were
using the pulpit.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just go through this with you now. Some of the things that we had in Northville back in those days. You mentioned the bottling plant, and that was called what? The Silver Springs bottling plant. And they bottled ginger ale and
water.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then we had the Globe Furniture Company.
Yes.
We had Stimson Aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any other businesses besides the downtown businesses that were in Northville back in those days?
I don't know. I don't remember there ever not being a Ford plant.
Okay, now that's the old Ford plant where
yes.
the water wheel is.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you, as you recall, what did they manufacture back in those days when you were growing up?
You mean at the Ford plant?
At the Ford plant, yeah. You have any idea what they were manufacturing?
I think it was a valve plant.
Valve plant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Well, did that plant was that plant there when you moved here? When you were 10 years old, or was that built later on?
I'm not sure, because I don't remember it not ever being there.
Okay. Okay. Now, you also mentioned the sanitarium, or sanatorium, whichever
mm-hmm.
way you pronounce it, that
yes.
was there.
That the later became a convalescent home.
Okay.
But now it's been torn down.
Okay. And then...
And there was Mayberry Sand.
Okay, and so Mayberry Sanatorium was there when you were growing up?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
My father was chaplain there.
Oh.
As he was chaplain at the prison, too.
Okay, at the House of Correction.
House of Correction.
Okay. All right, now, Northville was a small town. I'm assuming there was still a lot of farming in this area.
Yes, there was.
What kind of farming do you recall?
Well, my recollection is mostly orchards.
Mm-hmm.
It was Foreman's Orchard, and then, I can't think of the name of the one on 10 Mile.
Mm.
There, that was the Northville community, 10 Mile and Novi Road, Irwin.
Oh, okay. Which later became Irwin Farms?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
What kind of fruit, primarily?
Apples, mostly.
Okay. All right. So then they would
and
market...
And peaches and pears.
Apples, peaches,
primarily
pears.
Primarily apples.
And then they would market those
yes.
products. Any dairy farming?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. I've noticed as I drive out west on 8 Mile, still a lot of horse farms out in there. Do you think that the reason for these horse farms was because of the what later became Northville Downs, the old racetrack? Did they race them?
Well, too, I remember them having, what do they call them? I mean, horses... having shows in Northville at the old fairgrounds of jumping and
show horses.
Show horses,
sure.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
There had always been quite a few horses around Northville.
Okay. So that they would have these fairs and they would exhibit the horses at the fairs?
Yes, and they would have the sulky races at the fair.
Uh-huh. I'm assuming this is before the days that they had gambling then. If you couldn't bet on the horses in those days, I would assume.
Well, I don't know. I suppose there were side bets going on.
But they didn't have a betting window. Betting windows and a tote board like they have today.
No. So. In fact, I've never been to the Northville race.
Okay, you never went to saw any of the sulky races then?
I did when it was the Wayne County Fair. In fact, I was almost run down by a horse one day trying to cross to watch the acrobats.
I'm assuming that the what later became Northville Downs was nowhere near the size or as elaborate then as it is today. Do they have some kind of a grandstand?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
in fact, when they first opened the races, they used the old grandstand was still in use.
Uh-huh.
Was in use then.
Uh-huh.
And then during the evening, during the fair, why there would be performances, they had a big stage across the track,
uh-huh,
per se. And they would have shows, and then at the end there would be a big fireworks.
Now, how long would this fair run?
A week.
A week.
Mm-hmm.
In what? In the summer?
In September.
September.
Yes.
Somewhat like what the Michigan State Fair does today, then.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they would have fruits and vegetables and all different kinds. Did the ladies exhibit any of their things at the fairs?
Yes.